This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Now on to the truth sandwich. Some years back, this was the brainchild of linguist and cognitive scientist George Lakoff. Research had shown that when people heard a lie being refuted, they were actually more likely to remember the lie than the truth. So he concocted the truth sandwich as a means whereby journalists could address lies without inadvertently reinforcing them. Morning Edition's Steve Inskeep used the sandwich in presenting the Trump interview. Prior to the interview, he presented the truth, followed by Trump, followed again by the truth. The truth sandwich won't leave listeners with the lie, a reporter's lifeline. But even so, in my phone interview with Lakoff, he was all too aware of its limitations. For instance, it can't defeat profound distrust.
No. The sandwich can't solve that problem. It solves the immediate problem. It can solve the larger problem, but you have to have lots of sandwiches to solve that. You have to be on it constantly.
People have done that. It doesn't seem, judging from polling on this issue, that presenting the evidence matters particularly. Let me get under this a little bit. In a recent edition of your Substack column, Frame Lab, you talked about a Republican framing of the immigration issue, specifically the GOP pressuring Vice President Harris to visit the southern border. You wrote, "The border visit was simply a Republican frame. The vice president had to visit the border or else she was running away from the border issue because conservatives said so. The press swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. In the end, the VP had no choice but to comply. She went to the border where nothing was accomplished and where her choice of sites, El Paso, only inspired a new stream of criticism from anti-immigrant conservatives." You wrote, "Remember, there is usually no way to win when you accept the opposition's frame." Is there some stratagem to outsmart the ubiquity of the big lie?
The answer is to point out that they're framing it that way. That's only your way of framing the issue, but given the evidence we have, namely so-and-so, it appears to be that the accurate way to frame this issue is, then you say it.
It just doesn't seem to make a dent on the true believers.
It won't make a dent on the true believer. The question is, who is your audience and who is being interviewed? Are you going to interview only the liar, or are you going to have other persons who tell the truth in addition to the liar? For that, you need a trusted reporter. You may need pictures of it. You may need pictures of someone, people saying it. You may need videos, but you need some background that says, here's the truth we start from.
Here's the truth we start from.
You got to have that.
There are a lot of terms floating around right now in our vocabulary: vaccines, critical race theory, election fraud. In different precincts, they signify very different things, real and imagined. How do we approach that misalignment when the very words we use tell stories about us that we may not intend?
Take critical race theory. Most people don't know what critical race theory is. You need to say what critical race theory says, and you need to be able to say it in a sentence or two. You have to practice it. Stand in front of the mirror and practice.
Yeah. The same with vaccines. Vaccines, which have proved to keep people out of the hospital when they are exposed to variants of the coronavirus, or election fraud,
which has been proven to be non-existent in recent elections. You have to have those descriptors all the time. So-called election fraud. You can always add so-called.
Any stratagems about how to communicate to and about propagators of the big lie, both with those voters who sincerely believe it and with those who, judging from past statements, only say they do, like many in Congress?
You probably can. You're not going to convert the true believers. What you can do sometimes, if there is a commentator from Fox News who has said the truth, you can quote him, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's hard.
But you do or don't think that we should talk to people who believe a lie, even if they represent upwards of a quarter or more of the U.S. population?
My basic estimate is something like 37%, you know, who believe the lie. And what you have to do is have, I'll give a short list of generally widespread trusted sources, and you say it, say the truth. But they may not trust any of those sources.
One kind of counterintuitive observation you've made in the past is that all politics is moral. And we know that you can influence people if you make them the hero of their own story. Is there any way to frame the issue that encompasses a shared morality? Or is that too tall an order?
Too tall an order. Usually, you have different views of what constitutes right and wrong.
Hmm.
That's the problem.
You have written about something you call the father style of morality or moral judgments.
Strict father morality. The strict father is somebody who says, I know right from wrong, period.
It's a very patriarchal set of values.
It's worse than patriarchal. You know, it is one of these things that does not allow what I call empathy. It says you have your view of what others should be like, period.
And the strict father model of parenting is one that values strict discipline, particularly by the father. Children learn through reward and punishment, that evil is all around us, constantly tempting us, you wrote. And the primary vices are those that dissolve self-discipline.
And part of that is having empathy. You don't get much empathy out of Republicans. You know, you're not going to get Mitch McConnell empathizing with many people.
So this seems like a big tangent, and maybe it is, but I'm trying to get back to this notion of the disciplined belief in the big lie in the face of all the evidence to the contrary, which is often stated. All the audits, all the recounts, all the winning Republicans on ballots where Trump lost, you know, even something as obvious as that. I just was hoping that you could, in some sort of sage-like fashion, offer a technique for dealing with it beyond the truth sandwich that would work.
Nope. Look, you know, people who have those beliefs and who have that view of what right and wrong is, it's very deep. That's who they are. You're not going to change them. That is a lost cause. Other things are not a lost cause. Appealing to other people who are open to this is not a lost cause at all. But you have to use your truth sandwiches.
But are there too many lies for the truth sandwich to address?
True. There are so many lies that you can't overcome those with just a truth sandwich that isn't going to work. You have to know the context where it will work.
George, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure.
George Lakoff is an American linguist, cognitive scientist, and author of Don't Think of an Elephant, Know Your Values and Frame the Debate. And he's also co-creator with Gil Duran of the podcast and newsletter Frame Lab. Yep, that's the show.
On the Media is produced by Micah Loewinger, Eloise Blondio, Rebecca Clark Callender, and Eli Cohen, with help from Aki Camargo. Xander Ellen writes our fabulous newsletter. Go to our website, onthemedia.org, to subscribe, and you'll be entered to win OTM merch. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineers this week were Andrew Dunn and Andrew Nerviano. Katya Rogers is our executive producer. On the Media is a production of WNYC Studios. I'm Brooke Gladstone. Mm-hmm.